Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. So today is the preview for our game against Leicester on Sunday. If you are new to the channel, please subscribe. If you do watch our videos and you're not subscribed, again, please subscribe. You'll help us grow massively and get involved in all of the different topics that we talk about in the comments section. So yeah, we've got all the boys together. Don't adjust your screens, Ryan. I've talked him through his haircut, so his haircut looks a lot better. Seb's just woke up as well, so he's nice and fresh for this episode. And Justin's pulled out a beauty of a Villa shirt for us to all admire. Me and Ryan are obviously looking at that shirt thinking, where are we going to get one of them from? But anyway,
I've actually got two of these, you know.
I'll have it then. I'll outbid him. Right, so one pressing matter, bit sad to be fair, a year since we've all been inside Villa Park. You know, I did a little feature for the BBC, and when I went there, you know, and was filming around the Holt End, you know, it was a little bit eerie, a little bit emotional. And I do feel like when we all go back, it is probably going to be like really weird feeling when you're walking up the steps to get into your seat and stuff. And yeah, I just can't believe it's been a year that, you know, we were watching Engels try and touch it and it goes under his foot and we were pouring out of Villa Park in disbelief. But, you know, Ryan, you know, you've been, as Justin has as well, inside Villa Park for many years. But, you know, how are you feeling at this moment in time, you know, not being in there?
Yeah, it feels like it's been longer than a year, doesn't it? It's that long. One of the most gutting things is we won't get to see Bjorn Abaston in a Villa shirt again. But I miss the whole match day experience. It's, you know, it's not just the actual 90 minutes. It's the build up to the game. It's getting down to the tavern, having a couple of beers, having a couple of purity ales in the ground before the game. And, you know, just being down there with your mates and stuff. It's just the whole match day experience that I'm really missing, to be honest.
Justin, what are your emotions on it all?
Yeah, very similar. I think my match day is a bit different to probably yours, as I'm probably a little bit older. And a few years ago, after going out every Saturday on my own, every other week, I managed to talk the wife and the two kids into having a season ticket, because obviously you're out of the house for a long time. So we've had a family season ticket now for about 4 or 5 seasons. So it became a real family event for us, you know, 4 of us going, parking up, having to walk to the ground, and having 2 daughters, you sort of, they've really embraced it, to be honest. My eldest likes going to away games. So it became just a chance for us as a 4, really, to spend time together and you know, enjoy a bit of social. And the place where we sit, Middle Trinity, on the left-hand side, we've got to know a lot of people there as well. So it's really nice. We know the steward really well. We'll shake his hand, he'll fist pump the girls as they're walking up. You have a bit of banter walking up with the faces that you remember every week. It's lovely, and that's what I miss. You know, I don't miss the football we were playing the last 10 years. Obviously, besides law that the year we have a global pandemic is the year Villa turn into prime Barcelona. So, well, that's just how it is, isn't it? Hopefully, we'll still be decent by the time we get back to go. But yeah, you know, what, seeing them pictures flowing all over Twitter today, it certainly makes you want to get back there as soon as possible and enjoy it again.
I think it's like mixed emotions, isn't it? You know, like obviously last time we were inside Villa Park, it wasn't pretty. It was quite stressful. We were involved in a relegation battle, which is just the worst feeling as a football fan to be involved in, because you just don't know where you stand. Do you? You don't know whether you're going to be, you're surviving, or what league you're going to be in, and all this business. So let's just move on. We've had a few questions on the tweets coming in about where we feel like Aston Villa are going to finish this season and where we're at the minute. So I'm going to pop up on the screen now for the viewers the actual table of the top 10 as it stands at the minute. Villa are sitting in 8th position with 2 games in hand, as well as Everton, with everybody that's above us. I did a little poll on Twitter. We had over 1,000 people get and vote on this poll whether we were going to finish in the top 4, top 6, 7th or 8th, or 9th to 10th. You know, we had 2% think we're going to get top four, 11% think we're going to get top six, 49% think we're going to get seventh to eighth, and 38% think we're going to finish ninth to tenth. So that says it's...
Was that top 2%, Justin?
And Ryan, I think. That's how it stands at the minute then. So, Seb, where do you feel at the minute, where do you feel like we're going to fit into that bracket?
If you'd have asked me at the start of the season, I'd have said anywhere above 10th would be an outstanding season, considering the quality we had last year. The difference this year is just insane. But now that we're here, it's almost natural to go, well, we're in this position. How far can we take this? And look, the sky's the limit for us at the moment. If we can keep up with the chasing pack, then there's no reason why we can't get Europe. I'm not quite sure on the rules of the new Europa League, BTEC Europa League that they're bringing in. So I'm not quite sure on that. But I think Europe is a real possibility. If we maintain our form and all our players keep fit, then sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think while we're in and around these positions, I predicted that we'd finish 12th this season. And, you know, we all know we're having a brilliant season as it stands. We've done so well to get into this position. We did have a few comments on Twitter as well, mentioning that 12th to 14th is where they feel like we're going to end up. Now, if I'm to think of we're in this position now, and we're going to finish 12th to 14th position, at the end of the season, I would feel like slightly disappointed with the way that the season panned out in the end. I feel like we've got to be aiming for at least now a top 10 finish. What are you thinking, Ryan?
Yeah, I think 10 as a minimum now, just not to waste this season that we've built. Europe, why not? Let's push for it. Why not push for it when you're in this position and it's within reach, it's in touching distance. You win your two games in hand and we're fourth. That's how close we are to it. So let's just go for it. There's no reason why them players are under no pressure at the minute. Whatever happens now, they've done what's required and we've had a brilliant season. So playing without any pressure makes us dangerous. And if we can get that cutting edge back in our attack over the next few games, go on a decent run, then the sky's the limit. Let's just go for it. And you know, if this pandemic teaches you anything, it's to live for the moment, isn't it? You know, let's just go for it.
Yeah. Everyone knows that I'm a very, very, very positive Aston Villa football fan. So for me to see us in this position now, minimum for me is top 10. It's got to be. If we finish below top 10, I would be fuming at the way we've panned out this season. I've said in a couple of pods ago that I don't want us to turn into, say, a Crystal Palace who start well and drop off dramatically and you end up in 14th place. To me, that would be a shocker. So that brings me on to our next part. So I'm going to pop up the team that started against Brighton. Now, we need some form. We need some consistency. We need to go on a run. If we are going to reach the level that I hope we can reach this season and finish in a real decent position. So I'm going to ask you, Justin, if you looked at that team that started against Brighton, what would you put it down to, the level of performance and how we played? Like, what changes would you make? Because, you know, we were off it against Brighton.
I think we'll all agree that it's a midfield that probably needs jigging a bit now. I know he sort of excused Barkley, and it's fair enough what he's saying. He had a long time out and he came back. He's played six games in 18 days. But the brutal truth is that his form's just not there, is it? So I think I would be very, very surprised if Ross Barkley starts on Saturday. He may very well do that because like he said, he's trying to play him into form. But the difference now is we've got a Sansson that's our player. We've spent a decent amount of money on him to play in that position. And we've currently got one or two players in midfield that aren't playing up to the standard that we know they can get to. So that's when generally you bring a player in to replace them, isn't it? So I personally think Sansson could come in on Saturday for probably Barkley. A left field choice would be Ramsey to come in, but I'm not sure he'd start him now over Sancho, although he does really like Ramsey. We haven't heard about the Cash injury, so I would imagine that El Mohamedy definitely will start right back. Another option, I suppose, is do you put Jack in the 10 and do you bring El Ghazi or somebody in on the wing instead? You know, there is options there, and I think it's weird because as a fan, especially fans like us that watch it week in, week out, and it's so entrenched in the whole thing, you sort of know when there's going to be changes, and I think we all sort of know now that we'd be very, very surprised if that midfield and front three stayed exactly the same on Saturday as it did against Barnsley. So, yeah, I think changes will happen. 16 games to go. Yeah, I think top 10 minimum now. Weirdly, we're sort of sandwiched in between Everton and Spurs, and we've got to play both of them twice because they're two rearranged games. So those four games could really, you know, see how where we're going to finish at the end of the season. That 4 out of 16 against teams that are directly in competition with us will probably tell us where we're going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point, to be fair. You know, we've still not played Everton and we haven't played Spurs yet.
No.
You know, looking at the table as well, we've got more wins this season than Spurs. I mean, that's mad in itself that, you know, we've got more wins than Spurs. Like, so yeah, we just need to keep it going. I'm with you. I just feel like at the minute, you know, a strong point before Christmas around that area, I thought was our midfield. And now I feel like at the minute we've been played through midfield a little bit too easy. So I'd like us to, you know, although we're quite solid at the back and as a unit and shape, we don't concede many. I just feel like sometimes we get played through that area a little bit too easy. Seb, do you want to add anything onto the team that we feel like we could change maybe? Or
yeah, I agree with Justin to an extent. I feel as though Barkley has looked fatigued. He's stopped his forward running that he was making before. He stopped fighting for every loose ball. He's almost lost sight of what brought him to Villa Park, the fact that he needs to impress if he wants to get on the plane for the Euros this summer. I think he's looked quite lethargic recently, so he'd be the one that I'd replace. However, I'm not sure that I'd bring Sanson in due to, I think they play slightly different positions. If Sanson was to come in, I wouldn't be surprised to see him drop back further. Maybe we bring Jack into the 10 and push someone else out wide, El Ghazi. Or whether we do bring Ramsey in, like you said, because Smith is a big fan, a big advocate of introducing youth. And we know he trusts Ramsey because he gave Ramsey the nod ahead of Hourihan. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of them come in, but I can't see it being Sanson.
Just quickly, Nakamba's been very unlucky as well.
Yeah, I feel like very unlucky. He wasn't lucky, to be fair. I like Nakamba, I do. I feel like when he comes in, I just like how he breaks up play as well.
Do you think, you know, if Cash don't play, do you think it will be Trezeguet over Traore just for that defensive cover?
Yeah, because Barnes is bang on form at the minute, isn't he? You know, they're so pacey as well. And they are, you know, they're playing really well. So let's go to a couple of points from some of the fans that have put some tweets out there. So Steve has put, are the players showing signs of cumulative fatigue? Even Jack not looked sharp last few weeks. Seems Villa's recent performances, while solid, have lacked the energy and pace in previous games. I mean, for me, you know, we've seen the word fatigue and tired and branded around quite a lot on social media at the minute. I'm just not buying it at all, because if you're talking, we've got 16 games to go or whatever, we're virtually just over halfway. You're halfway through a season and you're fatigued. I just can't buy it. Smith always comes on and says, you know, he's never had players wanting to not play because they're not fatigued, or, you know, they've got stats galore at Villa. These players have got monitors chipped onto them every single game, and I just can't buy the fatigue thing. I just think it's slightly tactical. I think we just, teams are setting plans against us basically, and we've just got to find a way, you know, to play with a little bit more freedom. Do you want to add anything on that, Seb?
I don't know. It might be fatigue. That's the problem, because this is a squad that's just been come back from a COVID break. Quite a few of them have had a big, big illness. So, of course, they're not going to be 100%. But if it is fatigue, then that begs the question, when are they going to be back? Because they've had quite a while now, and they've had a few week-long breaks in between games, so they've had time to get back up to speed. So maybe you might be right. I mean, I know they have them chips on the back of their shoulder to monitor their fitness, how fast they can run, how much running they've done. So, I mean, they'll be on top of it. But who knows? As a fan on the TV, you can't quite grasp, I think, things as if you were in the ground. So it's a bit harder to tell. I'm not too sure.
I think, you know, Smith as well, he says from time to time he has no problem with bringing in Ramsey or bringing in, you know, certain players. He's got full faith in his squad. So if it was fatigue, you'd see him rotate that squad a lot more. You know, we went through playing five games with pretty much the exact same lineup. He wouldn't risk playing those players knowing that there was game after game. So
he has his favourites though, doesn't he? You can tell he has a favourite squad.
He does have his favourites, but that's he's still going to pick the...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, I know what you mean.
So let's go to Richard. He's put Southampton, Brighton, particularly the Hammers, targeted Jack on the left. Is it time to mix it up and play Jack in the centre instead of Barkley with Trez or Alghazi or Traore on the left or right? Justin?
Yeah, I think we've covered that, haven't we? I think definitely time to maybe change it up a bit. On the sort of fitness thing, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because they are pretty much highly tuned athletes, and they've only got to be slightly off it to be off it. And like you said, we're not sort of, we don't see all the ins and outs of all the data and stuff. So I would be surprised if they are that fatigued, if he's going to continue playing the same 11 like he has done week in, week out. I think probably that's born out of we've done so well. I think if we hadn't done so well, you'd have seen more changes, wouldn't you, in the 11, whereas he likes to keep it the same because he likes that consistency in performance. And unfortunately, the last 2 weeks, we've seen a drop, but I do put that down a little bit also too. I think we've been found out a little bit, West Ham especially in Brighton. They're sort of nullifying Jack a bit now. They're really putting the foot down on him. And if the other two or three around him aren't up to it, which Barkley hasn't been, and, you know, Miggins has been slightly off it and Traore was quiet against Brighton, then we do struggle to break teams down. So that's where I think he has to look now at how do we change it and how do we get Jack a little bit more freedom. So maybe bringing him central now could be a good option because he'd have the full run of the pitch instead of being stuck out sort of centre left.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Villa Together podcast, this one's for you, Ryan. How many Villa items are you... No, yeah, this one's for me, but then it's got you in it as well. So how many Villa items are you and Ryan currently watching on eBay? And are you worried about Villa on tour outbidding you on items?
Yeah, anything in a medium or large, we've got it covered. And Villa on tour, yeah, they might have tricked us once, they ain't going to trick us twice. That was his one moment, and he won't get that shot again.
Yeah. I mean, I've unsubscribed to him as well, and he's never coming on the podcast ever again.
Blacklisted.
He won't see him on here again. I'm on a break. I'm not watching anything at the minute.
Say that every week, you pal.
But then notifications come through, and the one I bid on last night, it like had 12 minutes on. I thought, oh, go on, I'll just watch this one. It was a good price, and then it got down to 20 seconds. I was like, oh, sod it, go for it. I've got another one coming through the post, so...
You're worse than me. You're the one that's worse. These questions should be targeted at you because there's no.
To be fair, Ryan, at least when you divorce, you'll have plenty of time to bid on things, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it.
I'd just like to point out to the viewers very quickly.
More spots in the wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly.
The things you see these guys buy online is not the full thing. You know, there's so many that they bid on that they don't end up winning. Like, in the WhatsApp group, it's one every 10 minutes from one of you boys. Oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of this?
Yeah, because we've got prime museum collector, Justin. He's got everything.
A few.
He's wearing a Dwight York special at the minute.
Dwight York match worn. You don't see them very often, do you? Look at them.
No, I clock them. Nice.
See, this is what we're dealing with. Right, so let's just have a brief little chat just about the Premier League in general then. You know, we know Seb's a massive advocate of Scott Parker, so he must be absolutely loving life at the minute now he's on a bit of a mission to sink Brucey. So, Seb, is he going to do it? Is he going to keep them up?
I've said all along he'll keep them up. They looked really good at Everton the other week. And I'm a big fan of Josh Madger. I think I watched the Sunderland Till I Die documentary. Yeah. And he looked class in that. So it's nice to see him doing well in the English League. I think Parker will keep them up. And if Bruce ends up being the one going down, then that would make it even sweeter.
Yeah, they've got Wilson's injured as well for about 6 to 8 weeks, isn't he? So if they're the ones that get dragged into it, it's going to be them. You know, if you think about how we played against them at Craven Cottage compared to what they're doing now, he's turned them around. And you're on about that Madger, like, he was so good in that documentary, wasn't he? It's such a good documentary.
Palace are in trouble as well, might I add. Palace are... could be down there.
Yeah, they're dropping, but they're on 29 points. So I think they're probably just a little bit too safe, probably, aren't they? Do you reckon they'll stay up, Ryan?
Fulham?
Yeah.
They've certainly given themselves an opportunity now. Now I think the Baggies and Sheffield United, they're gone. But it's only really Fulham that seem to have a chance of staying up. And hopefully, yeah, they go down and Callum Wilson can wear the iconic number 9 Newcastle shirt that he signed for in the Championship.
So we're going to finish on score predictions then. We're not going to ask Justin.
Oh, no.
already got 10 fingers up, look.
So Leicester, you know, Villa at home against Leicester. I feel like we'll put in a performance. I think... we did against Arsenal when we had a poor result. We bounced back with a good performance. So why not? I'm going to go Villa 2-1. Ryan?
I'm going to err on the edge of caution this week. I think 1-1. I think Jack's got a goal in him. And I don't know, maybe Maddison. He's playing quite well at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah. Seb?
I don't know what it is about Maddison. I didn't quite like him to begin with, because I think the comparison between him and Jack, it was always out of him and Jack. But lately, I think he's playing really well. I've seen a couple of interviews he's done after the game. He comes across really, really well.
You know what? I think he's probably one of the best footballers to listen to. He's so good when he comes on, and he's just so likeable. And he tells you the stuff that you don't normally hear a footballer saying. Like, you know, he talks a bit about the game plan, or you get a bit of emotion from him of like where they are as a club. And I think it's so refreshing to see a player come out and talk like that after a game. Seb, your score prediction?
Yeah, I mean, Leicester are a good team. Arguably, you could say they're in a title race at the moment. If someone's going to catch City, I can only see it being Leicester, as unlikely as it is. Look, it's probably best that Vardy's fit for once, because Iheanacho won't have the chance to score against us for an 18th year running.
Yeah.
But I probably think, if I contrast the two teams' recent performances, I can't see Villa getting anything out of this one. I'm going to go 2-1 Leicester. Sorry.
Seb, that's disappointing.
Justin's crawling.
Right, pick us up, Justin.
Is crawling.
Drop the 6-0 right. Bomb on us.
Right. I'll stand by what I said last week, because I really fancy... I do still think we'll hammer someone pretty soon. It won't be Saturday. I'll add to that one. I think Leicester in half-decent form. I'm just looking now. 8 points from the last 5 games. We've got 7 from our last 5. So I'm going to say we're going to do what we did a couple of times this season, when we've knocked out a really, 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 not scrappy, but a really good defensive 1-0. We're going to keep it tight in the back. We're going to change the midfield a bit. Jack's going to be in the 10, and we're going to nick a goal and win it 1-0 like we did at their place.
Come on, Villa. That got me up a bit, that, didn't I? I'm changing my prediction. 1-0 Villa.
Dino, get that in the changing room.
And the Champo League dream is still on. So thanks for watching. If you like the video, drop it a like. Please subscribe, show some support to us, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.